Both gotta read this and remember it. Ready for the ceremony tomorrow.
Trader was staring out the window across the soaring deeps of the canyon, now tinted deep crimson and orange as the sun began to set behind it.
Sure. Thanks a bunch.
Arkadin handed each of them a piece of ragged paper, torn from the back of some pre-dark book.
You both got reading?
Sure we do. Don't we, Brother Willard? We can read.
Of course we can fucking read. You think we're stoops?
Marrying the little girls tomorrow? Of course you aren't stoops. Likely the best thing ever happened to you two. Make sure you get to bed good and early tonight. Want to be fresh and chipper tomorrow, ready for the big day-o. And the big night-o afterward.
Arkadin closed the door behind him.
Can we fucking read? That son of a bitch has it coming when we get out of here, Ryan.
He's doing his job is all.
Yeah, sure. Like a dog does its job by eating its own puke. Come on, then. Read it and tell me what it says.
Sort of thing like swearing an oath.
Read it.
I, Willard King, swear that...
Hold it. If you're reading it, then how come it's got my name on it?
There's two of them, traitor. One with my name on it and one with your name, all right? Right. I swear that I will take the daughter of Baron Torrance, christened Chrissy, mine'll say Bessie, traitor, as my lawful wedded wife from this day forth.
They're serious. Now it comes down to the line. They're really going to get us to marry those lard-assed cows.
Goes on a bit about being loyal to the Vale of Hightower and loyal to our wives in sickness and health until death parts us. Take a note of that, traitor.
Sure. If I have my way about chilling, this will be one of the shortest marriages in the whole history of all the Deathlands.
Ryan topped up the three dirty brass lamps that stood around their bedroom. Using a self-light, he watched the steady golden flames flicker and grow, filling the darkness with their steady brightness. There was still 3/4 of a gallon of oil left in the red metal can. Outside the door, they could hear the steady steps and the murmur of conversation from the three Sekhmen that Arkadin had placed there to keep them safe during the long night before their shared wedding. Trader paced up and down.
Should we try and take him in the early hours?
We need a diversion. They won't come in just because I pretend you're sick or any old trap like that. Nah. I figure it might be a good way, Trader.
At the sounds, Ryan moved quietly to the door and pressed his ear against it.
What?
Bessie, I think. Arguing that she and her sister want to come in and spend a little time. A little loving time, she says, with their future husbands.
I'll be hung, quartered, and dried for the fucking crows. I'd prefer rad cancer of the tongue to that, Ryan. You shout and tell them we're busy. We're praying. Tell them that.
Quiet, I can't... The ladies are getting their way, traitor. They'll be here in a few moments.
The two men looked at each other, struck simultaneously by the same thought.
There's our diversion.
Trader grinned like a starved wolf.
Let's get ready for the little girls.
The Sekhman lay sprawled in the deep pools of shadow at the rear of the garage. Blood seeped from his eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, running onto the oil-stained concrete of the floor. There was a livid line etched around his throat, where the thin wire garrote had choked him to death.
Neat. Sure haven't lost your touch with chilling.
That's a skill like any other. Once you got it, you never really lose it.
The powerful land wag stood in the corner. It was a 6-wheeled pre-dark Volvo that had been rebuilt so many times in the past century or so that there wasn't a whole lot left of the original truck. A flatbed had been added at some time, which had then been built up higher, as well as a makeshift roof and sides made from sheet steel to give it security.
Check the gas in the tank.
Up to the brim. Any in the cans?
Plenty. Probably get us all the way back to the others. Get them loaded and I'll scout around. And be ready for some swift action, Abe.
Bessie had on her golden pumps with the high heels. Above that was one stocking and a pair of stonewashed denim shorts that were so brief and tight they looked like they were cutting her in two. Above a red leather belt was a torn bikini top and dark blue vinyl that barely contained what she obviously imagined were her outstanding attractions. But she was a poem in moderation compared to her older, larger sister. Sissy Torrance's hair had been dyed since the wedding rehearsal at noon. Now it was a shrieking pink from roots to tips, with a silvery net stretched over it. At first glance, as she swept imperiously into the bedroom, Ryan couldn't make out what was on the net. When she moved into the aura of light from the oil lamps, he saw that a number of insects, like praying mantises, had been sprayed gold and tethered to the net around her hair with tiny golden chains, leaving them free to move around. Two had obviously mated recently, as the large female was busily devouring the smaller male. Ryan winced at the morbid thought that this might turn out to be symbolic of the coming wedding. Sissy had on a short skirt that showed her enormous thighs, dimpled and quaking. The purple satin, dappled with orange sequins, was so skimpy that it did nothing to conceal her lack of underwear.
We are here, dear husbands.
Husbands-to-be, sister. Best watch the legal shit.
Of course. We thought we should have a little test. Make sure that we're... what's the word, sissy?
Comparable, I think.
Yeah. So get the pants down and your cocks up and ready. Unless you want us to call in some help.
I reckon now's as good a time as any.
I reckon.
They wanted to make enough noise to bring the segment from the corridor outside into the room, so that they'd have a chance of disarming and overcoming them. The plan then was simply to get through the dark hallways of the old hotel to the quarters of Baron Torrance and retrieve their guns. Then they'd get outside to try to find the landweg they'd spotted earlier, and away. But they also had to make sure the women were no threat at the moment the guards came in, so timing was crucial. Bessie strode toward him like a ragged pirate galleon under full sail. Her hands were massaging her breasts as she gave what she imagined was a tantalizing smile at Ryan. When she was close enough, Ryan hit her once, and his fist buried itself in her stomach just above the belt, sinking deep into the soft flesh. As she doubled over, Ryan brought his hands together and hit her on the back of the neck, sending her unconscious to the floor of the room. Trader was less successful with Sissy. The older, larger woman had been watching him with her cold, dead fish's eyes, and she saw the attack coming. So she delivered a preemptive strike. She kicked at Trader, catching him a glancing blow on the shin with a chisel toe of her boot. He hopped clumsily out of her way, nearly falling over the end of the broken bed.
Help! Murder! Help!
Sissy turned toward Ryan and saw her sister lying on the carpet at his feet.
Come on, Trader, now!
Trader was up once again, responding to Ryan, grappling with the older sister, trying to get a grip on her enormously fat, sweat-slick wrists. But Sissy was far stronger than he had suspected, and she was still slapping hysterically at him. They were great round-arm blows that rang off the side of Trader's head, making him sway on his feet. Ryan picked up one of the brass oil lamps and smashed it over her head from behind. Colored glass shattered, cutting her on the side of the face, and the pungent oil ran all over her shoulders, soaking into the torn chiffon blouse.
Bastard!
Ryan stooped and picked up the can of oil, twisted the cap off, and splattered it all over the woman, drenching her from head to toe. Ryan saw the door start to open.
The door!
Three frightened young set men stood in the doorway, jostling together for mutual courage, holding their guns in nervous hands. A maddened 250-pound woman was unfamiliar territory for Trader, but the trio of guards was easy meat. He broke the nose of one of them with a fierce blow from the side of his hand, hitting the youth so hard that his nose was pulped and shards of needle-sharp bone were driven deep into the cavity behind it. By then, Trader had almost casually snapped the wrist of the second guard, making him lose his grip on a rebuilt 32-caliber automatic. Trader wrenched at the man's shattered radius and ulna, and the agonizing pain made the sentry pass out. The third man was panicked by the speed and efficiency of the attack, and freaked by the sight of the woman's corpse on the floor. He snatched at the trigger of his revolver, sending a bullet into the plaster of the ceiling. Trader kicked the man behind the knee, bringing him down, then struck him once just below the ear with his right fist, sending him into the dark. Ryan was vaguely aware of the skillful mayhem being carried out on the far side of the room, but his attention was still centered on Sissy. He moved quickly toward the windows onto the balcony, snatching up another of the lamps as he did so, knocking the glass chimney off with his left hand.
Come on, bitch!
She seemed oblivious to the way that the balance of power had tilted away from her, and she ignored the rancid lamp oil that dripped down her legs, gathering in a limpid pool around her polished boots.
You're